Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
North Dakota State is going after its 10th title in 12 years, the pride of North Dakota State. Neil Coolong, sir.
That is the positive news of the day. Heading back to Frisco, Texas, yet again, which is a streak I believe, Steve, started before I began coming on your show. That's how long that's been.
I know.
I barely even remember the last time they didn't go. Well, the two times they didn't go. One year was COVID, and they played in the spring, and that honestly shouldn't even count. There should be an asterisk by that. And the other one was the weird fluke game that they lost in Fargo, which just simply doesn't happen. It didn't happen again this year. So fortunately, they're heading back yet again. And it brings me back to the story of a buddy of mine from college said before the second one, I got to go to this. And he took out like a second mortgage to get the money to go down there. Cause he said, when am I going to get an opportunity to do this again? And it's a joke that we bring up every year. It's like, well, that was a decade ago. Marriages and kids born and everything since then. But back on top, hopefully once again, arch rival South Dakota State is they're a good team. So this it might actually be done this time. Who knows?
Well,
who knows?
All I know is there are people that live up there that have timeshares in Frisco now because they get to use it once a year.
They're probably a third of the way done. Paying it off.
I mean, our team goes there all the time.
Run.
I don't need Chuck McDowell. I've got people that come and we go there every year.
It's perfect. It works out. But yeah, it's a large chunk of the economy in that town depends on North Dakota State traveling en masse down south for that game. And now they've got their brethren and Brookings, South Dakota, joining them.
Yes.
That'll be the place to be for a weekend. I think that's why they changed the game from Saturday to Sunday. I think they're trying to get another day out of the people that are escaping the frozen upper Midwest and heading down to the, I guess, partially mild temperatures of Frisco, Texas.
Oh, exactly. I do have to ask you, because Sean Morris, who's on BTN, lives about 20 miles outside of Brookings, and he says South Dakota State's a beautiful school, great campus, the whole deal. Is there a depth of rivalry with them on the football level?
Here's what happened. This extends to when I was at school there. North Dakota State was a Division II school in the North Central Conference. The University of North Dakota, UND, was their primary rival. That was the big one. They played at that point. They had played it was like the third longest streak of games against one another in all of college football. It was like 105 years. That ended because NDSU elected to go Division I with their athletic department, and UND did not. South Dakota State did as well. So at that point, the kind of, I don't want to say manufactured rivalry, but it sort of became that because UND didn't follow along at that point, and a couple other NCC schools did. So it became more of, all right, well, UND doesn't want to come along, so we'll make our rivalry against South Dakota State. Now, as it would turn out, they both kind of have gone through the lumps of the early process of that transition, and NDSU took off pretty much immediately with their football program. And it's been really good the entire time they've been Division I. They've never even been close to below 500 at that level. South Dakota State wasn't too far off from that either. They were also really good. And they became the national power that they are, except for the fact that they are still playing in the same conference with NDSU. They're the only team that's beaten NDSU, I think, more than three times in the last 10 years. And they also have a high-level program. John Stegelmeyer is their coach. Oddly enough, he was their coach when they were Division II as well. So he's been there forever. He's a great guy, great coach. It's great to see him having the success that he's having. But it's a rivalry in a national sense because they're the powerhouses of whatever's left now of FCS.
Right.
And a big part of why FCS is kind of defunct is because of North Dakota State and, to some degree, South Dakota State, because they had the ability to put more money into their recruiting than other FCS schools did. A large chunk of it, for understandable reasons, goes into their football program. Other schools don't have the money to, or they're not investing the money to keep up with that, so it's tougher for them. But that's why you're seeing FCS schools transitioning to FBS now.
Right.
You know, James Madison, another rival of NDSU's, just did that. They had some success this year out of the Sun Belt Conference. Others are doing that. Both NDSU and SDSU are discussing the possibility of doing that. Kind of seems like something inevitable because the FCS level, it might not make as much sense as it used to 20 mm-hmm. years ago when it made perfect sense. It's just the money is big enough now that they can probably afford more scholarships and try to compete at that level.
To the NFL we go. It was a weekend where the game between the Packers and the Rams at Lambeau ended up being 24-12, and that ended up being the largest margin of victory for the weekend. What does that tell us about the league at this time between performance and also attrition?
You know, I didn't hear that. That's a great stat. I didn't even think of that. But, yeah, I could see it. I watched a lot of football this weekend, and I think like anybody, I've never seen anything like a couple of games. I mean, to see one of those games a season is something else. But on the same weekend, I mean, the Patriots game was laughable. I'm still laughing over that. The Vikings game was one of the most enjoyable football games I've ever seen.
True.
Just how crazy the whole thing was and how realistic it felt. But I think, and we've heard the stat, you know, the margin of victory is something like 6 points overall for the entire year, which is really, really thin if you think about it. Teams are not getting blown out unless they're the Steelers playing at Philadelphia or at Buffalo. Imagine you take those games out, it's probably like 2 points.
Right.
But I think there is a margin of parity that's at work. I'm not sure if it's a question more of uber elite, a lack of uber elite teams, or a glut of mediocrity, if that makes sense.
Right.
I put it like this. I think that the epicenter of this is in Philadelphia. If you watch Philadelphia, in my opinion, they're one of the most balanced, well-coached, well-prepared teams we've seen in the league recently.
No doubt.
They're a really good football team.
Yes, they
top
are.
To bottom. But they are not making splash plays constantly like the way we're used to. We're used to seeing Pat Mahomes back in the day, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, certainly. Mahomes is obviously doing pretty well. We're not seeing great things out of Rodgers, to put it mildly. Brady has entered the really old quarterback status that we expected him to get to at some point, just not, you know, 7 years too late. The offensive numbers, or the highlights, I should say, are not as eye-popping as they have been. And there's a general feel that offense is just slower. It's not working as much. To me, it looks more like defensive scheme has caught up with a lot of this, and they're just not allowing the big plays. Philadelphia, on the other hand, in comparison to their peers, it seems to me they're the ones that have anticipated this. And they're playing that level of defense, but they've also worked in a high play, high possession offense that's very difficult to stop. It doesn't need the big plays down the field, unless, of course, they're playing the Steelers.
Right?
They're methodical. They can run well. They can pass well. They do everything well. They can play left or right-handed, depending on what you do. And I think we're going to see come playoff time, they're going to chew everybody up, just because I don't think anybody can keep with everything that they're capable of doing.
Yeah.
They're the team that's built for this right now. But because they don't, like, they're not making 3-4 60-yard plays a game, everybody thinks that they're not an explosive team. It's just the defenses are taking a lot of that away. They're playing a lot of deep coverage, and Philadelphia is just like, okay, fine, we'll take everything that we need. And keep in mind, as of today, they're getting Dallas Goedert back.
You know, right, which is that's a huge pickup for them. I mean, just internally, it gives them another weapon. But see, I've had people say to me, "Howie Roseman's the GM of the year." Well, he is, but what? Let's go. Let's take it a little bit deeper, right? You can sit there with your pom poms and go, "Oh, good, he's the GM of the year," but he has the flexibility nobody else has. I mean, he has his starting quarterback totally lucked out. Totally lucked out on his starting quarterback. Right? Because you and I were like, okay, really? Because he wasn't accurate in college. Now he's worked, I mean, worked himself into being an outstanding NFL quarterback, but he's playing on second-round pick money, and the GM has all the financial opportunities in the world because his quarterback's on the second-round contract.
It's quite the weapon, isn't it? When you're able to get MVP-level production on pennies,
yes,
compared to the market.
Yep.
There are plenty of teams that can do that. You know, the salary cap is not the enemy the way people make it out to be. It's something I've always felt owners plant into the minds of the media in an effort to win the hearts and minds of the fans because, oh, we're cash strapped. There's only so much we can do. It's sad that we have to let this veteran go. They can afford it. It's not a question of that. What Roseman has, though, is the ability to take that advantage and actually do something with it because there are plenty of teams, and we'll see this. At the end of the year, the Eagles, for example, they have that benefit, but they went out and acquired talent with it. The Chicago Bears could probably fund the nation of Cuba for a week with the amount of salary cap space that they have.
Right, exactly.
Because they haven't spent anything.
They have spent nothing. So, yep.
Yeah, and it's you know you're going to say, well, we're saving for this and we're going to do that. All right, fine. Eagles, they put everything together over the last two, maybe three seasons, you can argue, without a realistic sense that this is what they were going to turn into. Now, biggest Howie Roseman fan there is. I think he's done an excellent job. He has a great vision for what he wants to be. I don't even believe 3 years ago he said this is what was going to happen. I mean, they've hit on everything. Everything has worked well for them. They got the sucker deal out of the Titans for whatever reason. The Titans don't want to spend money. Another market inefficiency. You have teams like that just make dumb decisions. The Eagles were there to exploit that in every opportunity that they could, and they've made hay with all of it. So yeah, they're the best. I don't see anybody beating them. You know, and they've taken their most difficult competition to this point with the Dallas game, with probably without Hurts coming up. They've taken the best I think the league has given them, and they've dealt it right back and then some.
I mean, to me, the biggest threat to them are the 49ers, and because the 49ers defense is superior, it's better than the Eagles defense is. And the Eagles defense is really good, by the way, but the 49ers are better. The problem is they're going with I don't care what its stats are, they're going with the third string quarterback. And that's, again, that is a major disadvantage in a game like that, you know, that, let's face it, I mean, a lot of the tumblers have fallen into place for them.
Yeah, I mean, as far as San Francisco goes, I love the Brock Purdy story. I think it's nice. Great. Kyle Shanahan is an excellent coach. I understand that he hasn't won a Super Bowl and he's got some notable losses tagged to him, but he's probably the best offensive mind in the NFL. He's very well organized, very well liked by his players. His system can prop up a quarterback like that, but how many times has that stagecoach turned back into a pumpkin? How many times have we seen this?
Exactly.
Some more film is going to develop. Purdy is not going to last in the playoffs.
Oh, of course not.
And it's terrible to say because DeMeco Ryans, if he's not the first head coach man hired for a head coaching position in this cycle, there really is something wrong. The defense that San Francisco is playing, the scheme that they have is so far ahead of everybody else. There's a reason that they literally do not allow points in the fourth quarter of games. And that's not normal. They don't give up points in the fourth quarter. Nobody scores on them because by that point, they're so dialed in. They know everything you're doing, and they take everything you've got away from you. I was talking with some colleagues about this, and I wanted to write something on this. I feel the conference championship games most likely, this isn't a hot take by any stretch, Buffalo and Kansas City is going to be the marquee game. But for the real football people, it's Philadelphia and San Francisco. Yeah. That's just a phenomenal football game waiting to happen. Whatever the result, if those are the final four teams, I think it'll be a great Super Bowl. But we're going to get two epic conference championship games. And it's a combination of excellent coaches who have found market inefficiencies in building up what their teams are and what they're about. And the coaches are a big part of that. And I don't want to say younger is better or anything like that, but they have both identified a lot of very talented young minds in the game. and they're doing different things with the game that is changing away from a complete all-out aerial assault down the field to one of balance, to one of if not defensive domination, the way the 49ers are, not so much in their control. I mean, there's not many teams that are poised to make a Super Bowl run that are playing on their third quarterback in a year.
Right.
That doesn't happen very often.
No.
That speaks volumes to everything that they are as a team.
But what the 49ers can do that, if I'm the Eagles, worries me. What's the one game they lost? And I know there were turnovers in that game, but Washington controlled the ball. And that is part of the San Francisco formula, their ability to, quote, control the ball to go with that defense. And that's why they one plays off the other. All right. So I assume you'll be around next Tuesday, right?
Of course you will. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
You're in.
Might be frozen, but I'll be out.
Oh, we all will be at that point. I mean, I'm not going,
yep.
I'm not going to California until 3 days after that.
You're lucky.
Well, just to let you know, just to make up for it, the back end of the trip is in Michigan.
Oh, okay. Well, you're going to pay for that then.
You know, dearly. and then I can lock you in for the next year on Tuesdays, right?
Absolutely.
Perfect. I'm loving it. One of my favorites for a wide variety of reasons. Sir, you're the best.
More than a pleasure for me.
Thank you to you and your family. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. You have earned all the good fortune that you have.
Well, thank you very much. It's definitely always my pleasure. You guys have a great holiday as well.